Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Kennedy, and I'm here to help you become the very best version of yourself. What's up, legends? Welcome back to this week's episode of the show. Today's guest's name is Brandon Groves. Now, he is a former tradie, recently just finished up his job to go full-time into his new passion, being a workplace culture coach. He's got a program called the Compassion Society. He's got an awesome story, and I think a lot of the listeners are going to be able to relate. May not necessarily be, you know, you may not necessarily be a tradie at the moment, but I think there's a lot of people that are working jobs that are almost on autopilot day in, day out, that are struggling at some point in time mentally. And, you know, the tips and I guess the story that Brandon shares in today's show is super relatable. And I think it's going to add an extreme amount of value to everybody who tunes in. So a big thanks to Brandon for jumping on the show. I mean, it was his first podcast he's ever done, and I think he nailed it. So you guys should definitely get around his Instagram. Go and give him a follow. If it sounds like something that you'd be interested in after the episode, I'd love for you to take a screenshot, post on your Instagram story, tag myself and tag Brandon. Make sure you reach out to him if you're interested in the program and give it a crack. But I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Let's get stuck into it. Righto, Brandon, welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast, mate. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Thanks, mate. Glad to finally be here.
Yeah, mate, I'm really looking forward to our chat today to find out a bit more about the Compassion Society, kind of understand the why and the purpose behind it, you know, what your aim is with, I guess, the project and then also how it all come about in the first place. So to get things started, man, how about you give us a rundown on, you know, what you're doing before Compassion Society and then also explain to us what it is and I guess what you hope to achieve out of doing it.
Well, basically, my name is Brandon Groves. I'm from a little country town called Gisborne in Victoria. Well, basically, the Compassion Society is a four-week program. It's structured around routines, goal setting, distressing from work, and understanding fear. Basically, last year, I was going through a pretty rough time through my mental health, and it's sort of been leading up to that time. And from there, I thought, fuck, what can I do to help people that are sort of in the same similar situation as me? And for those of you who don't know, I'm a plumber by trade, and I've been in the industry for 9 years now, and I thought, fuck, surely there's something else out there for me. So yeah, what I did was come up with this four-week program to not only help myself, but help everyone around me and everyone that's in the industry. Basically, I like to look at it as a bit of a workplace culture coach sort of setup. I think the industry is full of a lot of egos and who's got, you know, the bigger hard hat and the more stickers and all that sort of stuff. So I thought, fuck, why not, you know, start something that's a bit different to anything that's out there at the moment. So
you mentioned you've been in the industry for 9 years, was it?
Yeah, 9 years.
9 years, yeah. So up until this point, had you ever really struggled with the mental health side of things previously, or was it something that you'd always kind of, I guess, battled with on and off, and then was there any kind of turning point that led you down the path of, you know, saying that, you know, this time around I'm actually going to do something about it, or how did that come about?
I think, Danny's like, just to relate, back through school, I grew up as a bit of a bully, and I thought my shit didn't stink and all that sort of stuff. And I came into the industry, and from my first year all the way through till now, I've had some really up and downs. I've had tools thrown at me. I've been bullied at myself from, you know, like bosses that I've had, stuff like that. There hasn't really been a turning point for me where it's been like the balls drop, because I'm 25 and I'm still growing. So every single day I've just been using that story just to keep motivating me and pushing me to, you know, create this program. And look, I'm not saying it's, you know, the best thing that I've ever done yet, but I really feel like I've finally got a purpose, and, you know, it is what it is.
That's awesome, mate. So 25, did you say you are?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm still super young. You know, we're obviously chatting on a podcast right now. When did you kind of become aware of the fact, because I think this is the thing, right, with mental health in particular, a lot of people that you talk to that go through any form of struggles mentally, and I think nearly everybody does at some point in time, but those that really start to do something about it usually have a point where it all makes a bit of sense and they realize that they've probably been struggling with something for a long time, but they just were either completely ignorant to it or maybe were too scared to speak up about it and stuff like that. Do you think, particularly in the industry you're in, but just in general, was it something that maybe you realized you were struggling with earlier on and just never were willing to speak up about it, or what kind of allowed you to, I guess, open up about it and do something about it?
I think through, as I said, with my apprenticeship, I think there was a lot of situations that I got myself in that I didn't address. And like with it, it's like anything, like if you're going to bottle things up, it's going to explode at some point. So I think that first 4 years of my apprenticeship, going in and out of work and not addressing stuff like that, was sort of the tipping point for me. And then obviously last year, it was about this time last year, I was driving to work and something just inside me was just like, nah, I can't go to work, that's it. And not being able to reach out to the current boss who I had at that point, and not having the support around me, really rocked me. And look, it's, you know, life's a big journey, and I know it's not easy, but at the end of the day, it's one of those things that I'm very, very grateful for, that I did reach out and, you know, got the help that I needed. So
yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It's like, it's all just a matter of adding tools to the toolkit, no pun intended there, mate. But but what was the first process for you? Was it, you know, was it a meditation app? Was it reaching out to a psych? Was it just telling a mate, telling family member, partner? What was it? What was the initial step for you?
I think it's been a lot of things, Danny. Like, I think the ball didn't really drop, as I said. Like, with the routines and the goal setting and all that sort of stuff that I'm teaching, that's the sort of stuff that helped me. So that's why I was like, you know, why can't I just, you know, learn a bit more about it and teach it to people that are going through the same thing. I think meditation's been something really, really massive for me. I started that in 2018 when I was in Europe, but up and down. But to this day, I try to do it. Sorry, I shouldn't say try. I do it six or seven times a day. And look, you know, meditations, the routines, the goal setting, everything that I'm doing, exercise, like it's all just a big, how can I explain it? Like a bit of a, it's like a cycle. It's just a really good cycle. And, you know, does that sort of answer your question?
Yeah, 100%. Was there anything in particular that you stopped doing, you think helped benefit? Like where, you know, a pretty obvious example could be things like alcohol, staying out, you know, lacking sleep, not training, things like that. But was there anything that you cut out of your life that you reckon was having a negative effect?
I think, look, I would say alcohol and drugs, and that's at this point in my life, I still do a bit of drinking, which is completely fine, but I've really narrowed it back to not doing it every single weekend and not doing it from Monday through to Sunday. I think that was really not helping me one single bit. A few other things would probably just be like just not waking up on time, like just being so rushed in the morning.
Yeah.
How you start your day is how it usually typically unfolds, and that's what I teach, obviously, the people in the programs. But that's, I don't know. Yeah, it's just been little things along the way. I think like environment's a massive key as well. I think some of the people I was probably surrounding myself with were hit and miss, but, you know, they've evolved me into who I am today. So,
But everything happens for a reason. Where did you learn all this shit from? Like, did you know, was this just like in your own head? You're like, you're going, oh, I'm just going to try meditation today, or I'm going to start a morning routine. Was it journaling? You just thought, I'm just going to grab out a piece of paper and start writing shit down? Or was it something you picked up from someone along the way? Or where did you even get these ideas to start building, you know, adding these tools to your toolkit for yourself, which has inevitably turned into the Compassion Society?
Well, the thing is, like, it's all, I sort of sat back one day and wrote down, obviously, the stuff that I enjoy learning about and teaching. And it's a big, I just want to give a shout out to my mindset coach, Tim Spears. If he wasn't in my life, I definitely wouldn't be going down this path. So I think having him has really helped me. But just with the meditation stuff, that was just something I thought was cool in Europe. And I thought, you know, it was a thing to do and like a culture thing. And ever since that day I did it, I just loved every minute of it. I think it's a true tool if you can sit there and actually be with your own thoughts and, you know, not procrastinate what's going on in your mind and all that sort of stuff. So
100%. Throughout the time where you started to add all these things, I guess, to your daily routine, I guess aside from the meditation, what do you think is probably one of the things that's had the biggest impact on you?
I'd probably have to say goal setting. Like I think just really having a good vision and seeing, you know, where you actually want to go in life has been massive. And I think a lot of people set and goals.
Clarity and intention, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, even when I just jumped on here before, mate, like, I literally just wrote down just my intention is just to be myself and have fun. And, you know, awesome. I'm on my first podcast. And I think, like, just to go back to your question, I think just setting achievable goals is massive. Like, a lot of people say they're going to, you know, reach out and do all these fun things that they think are cool. But at the end of the day, if you don't write it down and actually write down your why and your purpose and a date and all this sort of stuff, you're never going to achieve it. So I think goal setting definitely is one thing. I think just understanding fear and getting out of your comfort zone, I think once you can break that cycle, everything will just open up for you.
I just wanted to interrupt today's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast to talk about one of my best friends in business, and that is the accounting software Xero. Now, when I started out my business, I'm a sole trader. I started out my small business as a health and fitness professional, and early days I tried to do everything by myself, and that included my finances, which ended up being an absolute disaster, if I'm completely honest. So I was tracking things using stuff like Excel spreadsheets, or just not really tracking it at all, including transactions, you know, my expenditures, the money coming in, the money going out, the position I was in with my business and what I needed to do to make sure I was successful. And it was just an absolute nightmare. And that wasn't until I started using the Xero software. Now, since then, it's become a hell of a lot easier. I've been able to send invoices easily to clients, keep track of what's paid and what's not, keep track of profits and losses, the money coming in, the money going out. After a really good week or good month of work, I'm able to go back through and have a look at the stats and see the progression I'm making within my business. But I'm also able to keep track of, as I mentioned, client payments and also forecasts and budgeting that I need to do in regards to each financial year, which I think is such a really important aspect of running a small business, particularly as a sole trader. So I used to think that it was going to be too hard to use, but I couldn't, it honestly couldn't be any easier. And I'm no good with computer software at all. So if I can do it, absolutely anyone can. So today's podcast is sponsored by Xero. And I want you guys to go and try the software out if you haven't already, particularly everybody listening who is an entrepreneur, a business owner, a sole trader. I think you are going to find so many parts of the Xero software beneficial for you and your business, making things a hell of a lot easier, a lot more streamlined, and allowing you to really take control of your finances. So that is Xero, spelled X-E-R-O. Go and try it out for yourself. I'd love to hear your feedback.
Awesome, man. Before we keep moving forward, do you have like a daily or morning routine that you like to follow now? Obviously, we've probably picked up on so far that you do your meditation and goal setting, but is there a set routine? You know, one of the things you mentioned earlier in the chat is how probably initially there was no morning routine. It was just waking up late, starting your day rushed, no real clarity. So what does the morning look like for you now?
Well, basically, I'm literally straight up on my first alarm. I think that was one thing I did for far too long was set 10 alarms. I'd usually go to the gym, but obviously circumstances are a bit different at the moment. But what I do is I just go out, straight out my door in my jocks, and I breathe in the fresh air. I actually get the body moving for 5 to 10 minutes, just really get that fresh air into you. Then I come inside and actually I've got a journal with, it's actually my colour, it's a maroon colour, which is like a bit of a purpose colour that I've picked up along the way. And I just write down everything that comes into my mind, whether I'm tired, whether I'm grumpy, whether I'm excited for the day, whatever it is, usually 2 to 3 pages.
Yep.
And from there, I'll go and sit down and do a bit of a meditation visualization. So I've got a few goals set at the moment around money and obviously my career and relationships and friendships and stuff like that. So I just sit there for 15 minutes and just visualize where I want to be in, say, the next 5 to 10 years. And then basically I'll come back to my journal, do a bit of gratitude stuff, write down my goals, my to-do list for the day, and then I'll cook myself usually three eggs, bacon and a bagel. I'm pretty proper with that. And then from there I'll jump into a cold shower and then go to work. But obviously now things are going to change now that I'm in my current career.
Yeah, so let's keep talking about that, mate. So Compassionate Society. This is something that you've picked up and started to implement yourself, and now you want to try and help others. You mentioned that, you know, the learning or the teachings that you try and add into the course. You were telling me before we started that you've kind of just stepped away from your actual career as a tradie. So How is that? Was it a tough decision to make? And then also, like, what's the plan now moving forward, and what kind of steps are you putting in place to make sure that you keep this momentum going?
I think it was probably one of the, if not the hardest decision of my life. For those traders out there listening, they would know that having an EBA job that pays, you know, it's the highest you can be in Victoria. And I was actually on night shift, so you're getting double. So it really did throw me around a bit. But from now, I think I just had to think, well, where do I want to be in the next 5 to 10 years? And is this serving me? So basically, yeah, I did resign yesterday. It was yesterday, but there was a bit of back and forth. So we'll be finishing up next Tuesday. But yeah, basically where I see it is I'm just really going to go all in with it. I think the industry really does need a voice. And this is why I'm trying to, I'm calling myself a bit of a workplace culture coach, because I think, as I said, the industry does need a bit of a change. And it all comes back to all this stuff I'm learning and teaching. And I think, as I said, I'm 25. I've still got, you know, ages, but I feel like my time's better spent putting it into the Compassion Society rather than, you know, working that 7 till 3:30 every single day.
How's the response been from, I guess, your fellow workmates and others that you've kind of informed of? Not so much you finishing up, but you know your workmates, have they responded to you kind of taking this a bit more seriously? And, you know, I don't know how much you were kind of putting, not pushing it on them, but kind of feeding them this type of information at work. Like, were the boys getting around it a bit, or you found it tough in terms of the response from others?
Well, look, the current job I have at the moment has probably been the best job I've had, and it's been a bit of an older crowd, so I have found it a lot harder to implement this stuff into the boys.
Yeah, just because they're stuck in, like, kind of stuck in their ways, or probably aren't as open to the new things.
Yeah, I think it's more that stigma around. I think, like, if I try and explain this stuff to, sorry, shouldn't say try. I can hate the word try. I don't know why. but as I was, sorry, go again. Do you want to ask that again, Danny? Sorry.
Yeah, is it just, have you just found the, you know, with the older crowd, have you found that they don't respond as well, purely because they're just kind of not so much stuck in their ways, but maybe not as open, don't have as much of a growth mindset because they've been doing the same thing for so long, and it probably wasn't, or definitely wasn't part of their culture when they were growing up and someone like your age?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, it has been tough. There has been a couple of them that have really got around me, but some that just don't really want to know about it. And I think it all comes back to environment and all that sort of stuff. I think even a few of the people I've told just that are close to me sort of doubted me a bit, and, you know, like, why are you leaving a really stable job to go and do something that, you know, no one's doing? And I think that at the end of the day, that's like the fact that I sort of can't implement that into the people that, you know, I really think would benefit from it at right now is more the reason for me to get out and start really owning my shit and getting to know, you know, the industry a bit more.
Yeah, I think one thing that I've taken away from even when I first started getting into the health and fitness industry, and even now to an extent, like, I, you know, a few years back, I would never have done any form of meditation or anything like that. Now it's a daily occurrence for me. It's meditation, journaling, cold showers, all that type of stuff. And one thing that I've learnt over the past couple of years in particular is that you don't really want to try and push it on anyone. You don't want to try and make anyone do anything. Like, when the time's right, they'll do it. And I think the best way to get your point across, or best way to portray your message to others, is just to, you know, as cliche as it is, lead by example. So, you know, if you're doing all these things and they can see how well you're doing or how happy you are, and, you know, taking a big step, like stepping away from your job and things like that, like, that speaks a lot louder to people than you standing there telling everyone to do what you're doing because it works. You know what I mean? Like, if they can see that the effects it's having on you, then it's going to be a lot more powerful, I think.
Oh, 100%. I think, just to relate back to that, I think when the people do come through the programs, I say to them, like, I know everyone's different. Everyone has different time frames. They have different, you know, whatever time they want to get up and all that sort of stuff. So if something doesn't work for them, that's completely fine. Mm. But all I can do is give them the tools, and, you know, down the track, they might come around and go, you know, I want to give it a go now. So,
yeah. So give us a bit of an overview of what the program looks like. Obviously, you don't have to go into too much detail, but how have you set the program up? What's some of the feedback been so far? And I guess, what are the takeaways that someone going through the course is going to get? And we'll start with that one.
I think, it's a 4-week program structured around routines. And to start with the routines, I've set up a structured routine that's helped me along the way. And I give that to them and with a video that I've filmed by me, just talking about a couple of stories that, you know, where my routines were a bit shit, they worked well, all that sort of jazz. And basically from there, they can sit down and write in their journal, all right, well, I'm going to get up on my first alarm. I'm going to, you know, do a bit of journaling. I'm going to do a bit of meditation. And as I said, I like people to get up an hour before they have to go and really do everything that I have. But at the end of the day, I can't force that on people. So basically that's the thing with the routines. Then we set some 3-month goals, just really achievable ones as well. Nothing too out of the ordinary, just something that they maybe wanted to do or along the way. And then what I've done with the third week is the distressing from work process, which is a little 3-step process that's helped me a shitload like the last 3 years. And it's something so small, but it's something that's really, really powerful. And then the fourth week's understanding fear/comfort zone. So I get the people that come through to obviously identify a couple of things that maybe they've wanted to try or they've been a bit scared of. And I'm just there to push them that whole way. And, you know, whether they want to step into it and do it, it's completely up to them. But yeah, as I said, accountability is really, really massive with this sort of stuff. And yeah, that's why I love it. So
awesome, mate. So on the topic of fear and kind of stepping into your fears and weaknesses and then getting really uncomfortable and vulnerable, give us an example of something that you found that you were kind of fearful of and maybe still are, but you're trying to tackle head on.
Well, to be honest with you, doing this podcast, I've been fearful of, and it's really tested me, but at the end of the day, it's something, you know, that I've really wanted to do. Another thing that I've like just with understanding the fear is actually doing this whole process. Like a lot of people I spoke to around, you know, starting it and getting people to do it were like, well, why would you want to do that? You know, like we've been brought up to do this 7 to 3:30 job. And then, you know, I was like, fuck it, why not? So I think every day, Danny, you sort of have to look at what you're doing. And, you know, if something makes you feel a bit uncomfortable, you should look at it and go, all right, well, is this going to serve me or is it not? So,
Awesome, mate. Well, I'm going to have like the links and stuff to your socials and like whereabouts can people sign up for the course? So I think even anyone listening to the conversation today, I think it would have taken a lot out of it. And I'm sure there's so many people in the same boat. It may not necessarily be, working a trade. It may just people work in their everyday jobs that have nothing to do with being a tradie or working in construction or plumbing or whatever it may be, but can take a lot away from it. So before I get onto that, is this course purely for those working in a trade or is it open to anyone?
No, it's definitely open to anyone. I think at the start, I did think it would be, you know, just tradies because I'm just a plumber, but I want to help as many people as I possibly can. So, and that's, you know, that's the good part. Like you never know who's around the corner. So.
Fantastic, mate. I reckon you should start a podcast.
I actually did think about that, but you know, one thing at a time, I guess, which would be good. So, but now I've got all this time.
Yeah, mate, 100%. I think, you know, even like you said, you were nervous about doing today, but I told you before we hit record, my first 50 episodes were fucking shit house. Well, look, mate, in the end of the day, if you've got something, you know, clearly you've got a message that you want to share, your own experiences and stuff like that, and you'd be surprised at how many people it could help. So I would highly recommend starting one, man.
100%. Well, yeah, I'll definitely take that up, I reckon. Maybe you can be my first guest.
Yeah, no worries. We can return the favour. So whereabouts can the listener find the course and how can they sign up? And I'll have everything in the show notes too.
Yeah, that's all right, mate. So at the moment, I'm solely on Instagram. So it's under The Real Brandon Groves. All my content and stuff is all on there. But as I said, now that I've obviously left my job, I'll be putting together a website and those link trees or whatever they are. Not actually sure what that is, but...
All right, you'll learn it all, mate.
I've got so much Tommy as now. I'm so excited to, you know, just reach out and learn a bit more. The Real Brandon Groves on Instagram is the way to go.
Unreal, mate. Well, you've done extremely well for your first ever podcast, and wish you all the best, mate. It sounds like obviously extremely passionate about what you're doing, and that's always going to lead to good things, and you know, with the purpose of serving other people even more so. So well done and good luck with it all. And for everyone who's tuned into today's episode, I'd love for you to get around Brandon, go jump on his Instagram, give him a follow. If this sounds like something that you'd be interested in, then definitely reach out. Anyone who's willing to make a change, such as, you know, the changes that Brandon's made, it's always a good thing. So well done, mate. And thanks everyone who's tuned in. I'll hopefully have a chat to you again soon, Brandon.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, guys.